The reading is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, beginning at verse 10, and can be found on page 30 in the church Bibles. Excuse me. Genesis, chapter 28, beginning at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There, above it, stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east, west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tony. Let's pray as we begin. Father, please speak to us now through your word. Please may we hear you clearly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what difficult situation or relationship you're in the middle of or you're facing. And I wonder this, or the thing you're longing for, what would you pay to know that it turns out well? To guarantee that it would turn out well. Maybe you're facing an illness. Maybe, as I say, it is about a relationship. Or maybe for many, it will be about, you know, you're wondering about whether you will get the relationship you long for. Or maybe you've got children and you're thinking, my longing is that they will turn out well. I think, how much would you pay for that? How much would you pay to guarantee that it would turn out well? Well, that desire, that uncertainty about the future, that which causes us most of our stress and anxiety, that uncertainty about the future, and that desire to have certainty about the future is really what blessing is all about. This word that we bandy around and perhaps don't always understand. A blessing is when someone promises you that things will work out, that work out for good. They promise you that things will work out for bad, that's a curse. But a blessing is things will work out for good. Because we are looking for some sort of reassurance in the face of a dark and uncertain future. And so we look to something outside of us to try and secure that future, to bless us. We look for that person, that God, or that thing to give us a promise of security in the future. Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to have a deep lesson in where we find true blessing and to whom true blessing comes by following this story, this character, this account of the life of Jacob. And we're going to look today, and we're going to unpack this again in future Sundays, at the where of blessing, the who of blessing, and the how of blessing. The where, the who, and the how. So let's start with the where of blessing. As we meet Jacob at the beginning of our passage, the place of, as I'm calling it in my mind, stone pillows. He's a man on his own. He is a man fleeing. He is a man with no family now. He is a man with no one around him. And that makes him peculiarly vulnerable to attack, to exploitation. There is no police to enforce laws. There is no sort of lighting to make sure that people can't sneak up on you. He has nowhere to lay his head. We're told this place is just a certain place. He is days away from those he knows. He is a stranger. He is a refugee. And now we're told the light is going. The sun has set. In the Old Testament, they don't faff around with unnecessary detail. Scrolls were expensive. And so if it tells you something in the Old Testament, it really counts. The writer's saying the sun had set on Jacob's life. And he's got nowhere to lay his head on. Do you know what that tells you about Jacob? Like, imagine you're out, and you really are out on your own in this world where when the light goes down, it is pitch dark. You can't see the hand in front of your face. And what would you do if you want to lie down? Or you haven't got a bed. What you'd do is you'd try and find a flat piece of ground with not too many stones, try and clear them. And then what would you do? What would you do? You need a pillow. What would you use? Well, you might take your spare set of clothing, for instance. I don't know if you've ever done this. I've got an allergy to feathers. So I arrive somewhere and they've got feather pillows and my heart sinks. I think, okay, I'm going to have to bundle up my clothing and put it down and rest my head on that. And it's not massively comfortable, to be honest. What does it say about Jacob that he has to use a stone? It says that Jacob has nothing in his life apart from the clothes he's wearing. That is being totally destitute. Just imagine how his life must have felt right then. No hope, no prospects, no future, no possessions, no family, no one, not even a pillow. He has to use a stone. We meet here Jacob fleeing his home, his family, his security, his resources. He has nothing. He is in a dark, dark, dark place. His future is totally dark. He doesn't know, not even what the next day will bring. But he's just been blessed by his father. What must have been going through his head? We saw that in the video earlier, that Jacob has got this blessing from his father. And what has been the impact of that blessing? A direct consequence of that blessing? Is Jacob being totally lost, totally destitute, with nothing around him? And this blessing by his father, this isn't a minor thing. His father is massively significant. He is the son of the great man of the Bible, of the great man of blessing in the Bible, Abraham, the one whom God had chosen to bless. And in fact, the whole of the Bible could be described as a relay race of blessing. God blesses Abraham, and then Abraham passes the blessing on to Isaac, who passes it on to Jacob, who passes it on to his children, to their children, to their children, to their children, to other nations are included, to us here today at St. Patrick's. Through the Lord Jesus, that blessing is passed on. So Jacob has secured the most powerful blessing there is in the world, and he finds himself alone with nothing, nowhere to go, no hope. Jacob must have felt so far from the place of blessing. What good has that blessing done him? It's not just that it's been ineffective. It's actually his desire and the way he went to get that blessing has brought him trouble. He's fleeing because his brother Esau wants to kill him. So, when blessing leads you to a hard place. Maybe you're in that place now. Maybe your life feels like a place where all the pillows are made of stone, where you feel out of place, lost, alone, and uncomfortable. Or maybe you are going to face that time. And yet, as Jacob lays his head on that uncomfortable pillow and somehow falls asleep, I mean, I'm guessing this is quite late on in the night, the Lord comes down to him and blesses him. Jacob has a dream. Now, dreams in the Bible are not like our dreams, most of our dreams, which are just sort of weird stuff that goes on and you're quite grateful when you wake up. And where you think, oh, I'm glad that's not real. You know that feeling? In the Bible, there are these special dreams, which actually aren't about something unreal coming to our minds. It's about us seeing what is truly real when we can't normally see it. And that's what Jacob discovers here. He falls asleep and he suddenly sees that in this place, in the spiritual realms, there is this staircase which stretches from the earth to heaven. And he sees these angels, these messengers of God, these powerful beings going up and down the staircase constantly. And then the Lord speaks his blessing. I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Jacob. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth and you will spread out to the west and so on. And we'll come back to this later. The Lord shows him that he is with Jacob. And then he speaks a blessing over Jacob. And this teaches us one of the most important lessons we will ever learn in the spiritual walk as we follow Jesus. That God's blessing often, in fact, normally comes in the place of darkness and hardship. It often comes in disguise. We often can't see it. So here's the point. If you today or in the future are in that place of darkness, isolation, loss and fear, if the future is a dark place, and not just a dark place like several days away or in a year's time, but a dark place now, here's the message. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are not far from God's blessing. You are closer than you've ever been. I always think about, you know, the darkest time we will ever reach. I think it's somebody, you know, who I love dearly died recently. And they were a believer. And I was thinking about how often at the end of death, things get really hard. Life gets really hard. And it can feel really dark. And you can feel very far from God's blessing. And you approach death, but here's the reality. This is the perfect illustration of it. In that moment, you might just be literally a heartbeat away from the greatest blessing of all. And what is true in death for the Christian is also true in life. And that's really important because I think sometimes when we're going through really hard times, we just think, oh, I'm so far from God's blessing and we're tempted to give up on it. And in particular, we're tempted to try and secure the future for ourselves. And we're working so hard to deal with this. We're so busy with hospital appointments, or we're so busy with trying to win this person's love, or we're so busy in trying to secure the future of our children, or we're so busy trying to make sure we don't lose our job, or we're so busy trying to battle the loneliness we find. And at the same time, we're thinking, well, I must be so far from God's blessing that what we don't do is say, Lord, show me. Show me yourself now. Show me how close I am to blessing. You know how we think our life, maybe you see your life as a bit like that. Yeah, good times and then crashes and bad times. And it's easy to think, oh, the good times, that's when I feel close to the Lord. That's when I'm spiritually successful. The bad times, no. I'm telling you, it's the good times where you're most in danger. And it is the bad times when you're right on the edge of knowing the Lord's blessing. But more than that, it's not just that in bad times, you know, God suddenly says, oh, don't worry, I'm going to show myself to you. I'm going to bless you. It is actually through the bad times that we are led to the place of blessing. It's very interesting. This place, Bethel, And the message of this story is not, oh, Jacob, don't worry, wherever you go, there'll be a staircase going. Now, actually, for believers now, in New Testament times, that's true. No, no. God was saying, this is always true here. And then you think, well, how has Jacob found himself in Bethel? Well, he found himself because through his actions, he had to flee his home with nothing. And having no money, he presumably didn't go to what seems to be the nearby city because he wouldn't be able to afford accommodation. And he'd be vulnerable out on the streets. He decides out in the middle of nowhere to lay his head down. The Lord, through all of the hardship, has been leading Jacob to this place of Bethel, this place of blessing. God has been using every twist and turn of Jacob's life to bring him this place. And he will turn that pillow of hardship to the pillar of blessing for Jacob. So that's the where of blessing. What about the who of blessing? So if I were to ask you to describe the ideal Christian, what might they be like? I don't name names, but what might they be like? There'd be people who pray lots, people who are honest in their dealings maybe, who trust in the Lord, who know his word, and all of those things. Well, let's be clear. Jacob is as far from that as you can possibly imagine. He is a nasty piece of work. Like, really get this. He is a liar, he is a cheat, and he is a swindler. He swindles his brother out of his blessing. But did you see how he did it? He did it by exploiting the blindness of his father. Did you think that was like, oh, an amusing story with the hair? It's a horrible story. It's a terrible story. Jacob is a vile individual. He takes advantage of his father's blindness to try and steal from his brother. Do you get it? I don't know who you think Jacob is right now in this story, but he's the sort of person you think should be locked up for a very, very long time. He is an unpleasant piece of work. And to be honest, in that place of darkness, he deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. He has nothing to negotiate with in his life anymore. And then just do you see the craziness of the Bible here? God chooses to bless him. And to bless him in the most dramatic way possible. This just blows our categories of how religion works. This awful man, God says to him, I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. I'm going to give you a place. I'm going to give you a people. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and north and to the south. But then even more than that, for this vile sinner, he promises him his presence. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you. And he promises his protection. I will watch over you, Jacob. And this is either going to be a massive encouragement to us or a massive challenge. It'll be a massive challenge to us if we think that we've been good enough for God. That's not how he operates. But it's a massive encouragement if deep down you feel like Jacob. You know you've lied and swindled. You know you've cheated other people. You know you deserve the darkness. You know you are too far gone or maybe too unimportant. Jacob now is the lowest of the low. Nobody would even notice him in the darkness. Well, know this. You are just the sort of person the God of the Bible, the God who is the Jesus God, chooses to bless. If you think you're all there, you're far away from blessing. If you know that you're a Jacob, that is just the sort of person the Lord loves to bless. So that's the where of blessing and the who of blessing. But this is the one that I found really exciting, the how of blessing. Do you remember? In the dream, Jacob sees this stairway reaching from the earth up to heaven, and the angels going up and down in gold at the top. So remember that. And remember, this isn't a dream like ours, where it's just fantasy land. This is, he is seeing something which is true, but just unseen. Well, there were, in fact, ancient staircases. Ancient staircases were quite common in that part of the world. And it was all based on the idea that blessing, the Hower blessing, is two-way. If you do the right things, you might get someone powerful to do good to you. And that applied to the gods as well. If you did the right things, you might get the gods to bless you. Okay? And so the key thing was, well, how do you get close to the gods? And they thought the gods were in the heavens, and so they thought, okay, we need to get up there. And so they build a staircase. Do you know where the other staircase in the book of Genesis is? Ooh. Some of you think I haven't got a clue. I've never read Genesis. I do, it's really good. Well, it was in a place called Babel, when they built a tower. But actually, when it talks about a tower, what they really mean is a stepped pyramid, what was called a ziggurat. And that stepped pyramid had steps going up to it to the top. And the idea was you build this huge tower so that if you were rich and powerful enough, you could get closer to the gods. And then they would bless you. So it was all about working up to the gods. It was only for the wealthy and the powerful. But here's the thing. It was basically foolish. Because however high you built it, you weren't going to reach them. But they knew that. They thought, but at least we'll be closer. Maybe then we'll be able to persuade the gods to wake up or to let go of their banquet for a moment to come and bless us, or even just to notice us. It was all about the idea that if only I do something, I will get my future secure. And here's the thing. Our culture is like Babel. We build towers today. We build religions and philosophies. Do you know, this is the thing which all religions and philosophies share in common. They all share this in common. That if only you do enough, you will get a reward. So if only you do enough, the God you worship, whether it's Allah or whoever, will then reward you. Or if it's a philosophical thinking, if only you study enough, you will get enlightenment. If only you're academic enough, you will be able to protect yourself against the future. Every other worldview, philosophical thought, religious view, is about if only you do enough, you will secure blessing, you will secure your future. Right? And so what do we look for? We don't build our towers up to, well, we do build our towers, just look at the shard. We don't build our towers up to the gods. We build our tower of money so that we can secure our future. We build our tower of relationships so we can protect ourselves from loneliness. We build our towers to try and secure blessing for the future. But do you notice this staircase is different? Jacob does nothing to build this staircase. This staircase is built by whom? It's God's staircase. And this isn't a distant God who says, you're going to need to wake me up, or you're going to need to impress me, or you're going to need to do something else. He is a God who's active. His messengers are going up and down all the time. And in fact, that language which says that God is at the top of the tower, actually the word is not clear. It's more likely that God is at the bottom alongside the staircase. But either way, God is active. This is a different way of seeing the world, where we don't build and work to try and secure some blessing from some distant God. This is where the living God, Yahweh, the Lord, has built staircases. And this will blow your mind. We're near the end here, but this will blow your mind. This staircase, which in Jacob's dream appears one other time in the Bible. This is a good trivia question. One other time in the Bible appears in the New Testament. Obviously, like, I didn't know this. I thought, wow, that's amazing. It appears in John's Gospel. And some of you are thinking, oh, yeah, I haven't got a clue. It's all when he meets an individual, right? Jesus meets an individual right at the beginning. And he meets a bloke called Nathanael. There's a great story about Nathanael, and I'd love to tell you more about him. He's a real character. And Jesus says to Nathanael, I saw you while... He's really sceptical about Jesus. And Jesus says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Which almost certainly means that Nathanael was doing something a bit dodgy under the fig tree and thought nobody else could see, but Jesus knew. But then Jesus says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open, the gate of heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on a staircase. No, not on a staircase, on the Son of Man, on Jesus. Jesus is the staircase of Jacob's dream. Jesus is your staircase. You can never work your way up to secure God's blessing. You can never do enough. You can never learn enough. You can never be clever enough. You can never have enough friends. You can never give enough money away to good causes to build the staircase. It will only ever look pitiful from heaven. But instead, Jesus, the living God, has come down to be your staircase. He is your way to ascend to God in prayer and to receive his blessing. He is the way to descend to earth and serve him with all your heart. And one day when you die, he will be your path to glory. And that's why in my sabbatical I realized this thing. I realized that I was putting a lot of energy, a lot of effort into trying to be successful. Trying to impress others. And I felt the Lord saying to me, David, take all of that effort, all of that energy you once put into being successful and pursue Jesus with it instead. That is why the way to secure your future is to cling to the staircase. And this staircase does move around with us. Jacob's didn't. He is with us wherever we go. And that is why we cling to him. And if you haven't, then cling to him now. So that is the where, the who, and the how of blessing. I'm just going to finish with one thing, one little question, just to set up the rest of the series. Why is it that God normally brings blessing in the hardship? But if you look at the end of the passage, Jacob prays a prayer in response to the blessing. And it starts with a terrible word. The word if. If God will be with me and will watch over me, I then will do X, Y, or Z. Jacob still can't understand blessing with the God of the Bible. He still thinks that he needs to do something or he can be in control. So he has got nothing now, but he says, okay, I'll promise you something in the future. I'll promise you a tenth of all that I have. He's still clinging on to control. He's still clinging on to earning the blessing. Why? Because then he will feel he is still in charge of his life and he's got God now doing what he wants. The reality is, blessing only comes when we let go. We stop trying. And it will take considerably more hardship for Jacob till he is ready to truly receive the blessing that is being offered him. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I love that thought that right now you are our staircase. That right now we are here and you are our staircase and angels are ascending and descending on us as your Father reigns in glory. Lord, may this week we have a vision, a dream of that staircase everywhere we go. You are staircase everywhere we go. Amen.